Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. My name is Ian and I am your host today, and I'm joined by the lovely Dr. Rima Arunuk. Dr. Rima is one of the most amazing stories that I've heard in terms of dentistry, coming to America from Syria, starting two dental practices, going into business with her family, which a lot of people, doc, many times say, don't go into business with your family, but somehow you did it incredibly. And I've invited her to come and talk to us today just to hear more about her story, to share some insights for the younger generation of dentists that are either thinking of coming to America or that are starting their own practices, what she's learned, and also what it's like working with a family. So, Dr. Rima, I want to say thank you so much for making time today to come and talk to us.
My pleasure.
Of course. So I want to start at the beginning, because as I said, one of my favorite things about you and about working with your practice is the fact that you have a unique story that is not just, it doesn't happen overnight. This takes a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, which I know you had to go through. And I would love to hear if you can take me through the story from why you went into dentistry to deciding this is the dream I want to follow, moving to America, starting your businesses. So I will sit back and I will let you tell your story. Thank you.
So I was born in the United States. My parents were in the United States. My dad is an electric engineer. He went to school here. And then my mom was so homesick, so we had to move back to Syria against really my dad's will. And I grew up in Syria. I graduated as a dentist from Syria. And then I got married to my best friend since we were in first grade. We've been together since we were 6 years old. We lived in the same town. We went to the same school. And then we both went to dental school in two different cities. We got married and I came back to the United States because of our upbringing. My dad really was always talking about United States and the opportunities you can have. If you want to better yourself, if you want to learn more, if you want to do better, you have a chance to always do better. So it was like embedded in my head. So we came to the United States and then we went again. We had to study again because we need to be licensed in the United States. So it was very difficult, the cultural shock.
I know my sister is a doctor as well, and she had moved to the Netherlands and went through a similar process. So how many years extra, what did you have to do when you came over?
It took us an extra 3 years. We came here, don't speak very good English. We had very little money. And then I was pregnant with our oldest daughter. So it was quite a struggle. It was not easy. We had no family here. So we basically became closer. Because I only had him, he only had me. And we had to figure everything out, from the language to, he worked with Domino's Pizza. And I used to wait for him for the tips so I can keep him on the side so I can buy stuff for Miriam. So it was difficult. And then we had to work so hard to learn the English, the terminology, because we had very little English. And the cultural shock, you know, you're with no friends, no family, and then you have to learn the rules. It was a lot.
It's a whole new beginning. It's a whole new beginning that you needed to, to take on together. Yes.
And I think this is the story of every immigrant. Everybody has a story to tell. I'm not the only one, or my husband. You know, like, we're not the only people. So it's really hard when you first
immigrate. But that actually, doctor, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I feel that the immigrant story of America is what built America. That is people like you that takes that leap of faith to say, I'm going to go and create a future for myself in this foreign place. I mean, that is what America, in my opinion, as a South African, that is what America was built on.
And reality is, it's a great country. If you work hard and you're very persistent, like you really want to do it, you have a chance. Anybody in this country have a chance to build a business or to follow their dreams. You can follow your dreams, you can achieve your dreams, but you have to be very persistent. You have to respect the rules. You have to understand you're not in your country. You have to adapt. Adaptation is very important. I see a lot of people who don't succeed because they don't want to adapt. You know, they don't want to adapt to the rules of the country. They don't want to adapt to the culture. You have to blend with the culture. You have to understand and take what's good for you. So I think
our at the end of the day, your business will be created in that country now. It is not, you now need to assimilate, as you were saying, to play to your crowd, if I can put it that way, because you're trying to build a business.
Exactly. Right now, I feel I was born in Glendora, I was raised in Glendora, and I still love my country. I still visit and I still have the culture at home. We keep the culture, but you have to feel you belong and you have to be very persistent. I never give up. Never.
You never give up. Because I think that the scary part, especially as you said, which many immigrants and even dentist immigrants that are coming over to America have this thing of not everyone comes in starting with money or having this bright future ahead of them. As you said, now you had to come in with your husband with not a lot of money, with not speaking the language very well, but yet you carved this path forward for yourself. And I would love to hear how you told me the story about how at the dental trade shows you would have your two daughters with you because you couldn't leave them at home because they were still too young. So you're trying to build this business, you have the two babies on your sides, and you're creating this business. Can you tell me a bit about the story of how when you did your extra 3 years, you're now ready to be a dentist in America? What was those first steps that you put in place to start getting your business off of the ground?
The first thing, we were not able to have all our kids at the same time. So we had our kids spread so much. Like we have 5 years between our oldest daughter and the second daughter, and we have 8 years between the second and the third, because I couldn't be a devoted mom. And that was my biggest problem. Like my biggest agony was the guilt, feeling guilty, because we don't have family here, don't have a support system. So we only have each other. So that was the most difficult part. Because
that's why you're saying playing business owner and needing to start the practices and all of that, and also being a mom starting a business and being a mom is probably two of the hardest things that you can ever do in your life, from at least experience, from what I've spoken to my mom about. So I can imagine that must have been very tough.
It's very hard, but my husband, truly, he's my biggest support, my biggest fan, my biggest cheerleader. He's my best friend. I owe him a lot. He empowered me a lot. He always was there for me when I felt down or when I felt guilty, and vice versa. Like you wake up in the morning when you see the other person is not feeling well, immediately you become very strong. You're ready to go. And then vice versa, you know? So this was very helpful. Yeah, we had our parents come and help us a few months here, a few months there. But basically, I really owe it a lot to him, to his support, because I like me now more than me if I was not working. I owe a lot to my work.
And you're touching on a point here that I think is the next question that I wanted to go into with you, is for dentists starting out and for startups. We work with so many startups, and some of them make it, some of them fail. And one thing you started said is not giving up is one point that I heard there. And I love the point that you made about having your husband, or having a husband, wife, a support structure. You need to find someone that's going to be with you. Is there any other things that come to mind for you as you think of your journey from starting the practices that you did? What really helped you in those early days that you would say to a younger generation?
You know, as a student, you have to study again. When you come at, like you are a dentist at your country, and you come here, you have to really associate with people who had that path before you, and you will always find them. You will always find them from going to church, from friends, from somebody, and you have to be very open-minded and listen to their story. You will find people that will not help, but you will always find someone who will help, you know, because they will help you with the path. Like, go to this school, do this course. The connections are very important, and you never give up. You have to do your own work as well.
But getting involved in the community finding people that are going through the same struggles as you, or that are trying to do the same thing.
Yes. So at our office, I always hire dentists, foreign dentists from any country. They're so bad as dental assistants. They do a horrible job. And I'm very patient with them. I don't hire them depending on them that they're going to give me in return that best assisting and, you know, but I want them to be in touch with the technology, the new stuff that we have at the office, dental terminology, and then my kids, they always help them with their applications because it's very rewarding when you see those people going to dental school. And you're part of their journey. So this
you gave them a chance.
Yes, we have a lot. We have a lot of people like who did that. Maybe I think it would be a good idea for you to talk to them because it helps other students listening to their story. It helps other people. Then you have to connect yourself with somebody who went through the journey before so they understand your agony because it's a big...
So that they can help, yes, yes. A problem shared or a difficulty shared is half.
And they need to be very flexible, willing to learn, to adapt, and very persistent. Like, I insist on this one. Don't give up.
You're going to fail,
then you're going to go up, then you're going to go down, then you're going to... Like, it's like a roller coaster until you... And once you achieve it, this country is a great country. You can do, you can, if you really want to be whatever you want to be, the best artist you can be, the best dentist you can be. I remember on the grand opening of our office, so this will be our second office in the United States, and I'll go back to that. But when we, at the grand opening of Foothill Family Dental Group, I remember I told everybody, I don't know how I said that, I said, this office, one day, it's going to be number one in Glendora. And everybody looked at me because I started from scratch. I had no patients. I did not buy a practice that's already running. And it's in a medical building, no exposure whatsoever. I'm on the fourth floor. No one will know there's a dentist in that office. I was scared to death. Like, I was so scared. And I remember saying, this office, it's going to be number one in Glendora. And I believe we're top dental office in Glendora. We might not be number one, but I mean, I know we are a top-notch office.
I know.
So
I know.
You have to believe in yourself. You need to know where you're heading. You have to have a goal, and you never, never size down your goal. It has to be a big goal, and you have to keep going after that goal.
No matter what, you have to keep going.
It's a complete struggle.
Yes, but there is the good is in that too, and some of the good. If I think about you, and I of course know your family by now, and it's amazing to see how I hear you speaking a lot about your daughters, about your husband. What makes your dental practice practices is the fact that you have this dynamic, and amazing how both your daughters went into dentistry as well. You have three daughters, correct?
And the third one is going to dentistry.
That is incredible. So what we're always taught, or what you always hear, is don't go into business with family or friends. And somehow, Rima, you cracked that code. Can you tell me a little bit about that journey of all three of your daughters also going into dentistry? You now working with two of your daughters full time in both of your practices. What has that experience been like, and what message do you have for people saying, I can't even imagine going into business with my family?
You know, in parenting, you have to lead by example. There's no talks. Talking and giving lectures doesn't work, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Anything you want from your kids, you need to do it yourself. So it's very difficult because you have to discipline yourself, re-raise yourself before you raise your kids. It's a difficult process, but that's what happened with the girls, because I believe they did see a passionate mom, very passionate about what she does. So I think that was a good example. I never asked them, but I'm thinking because they keep writing things for me, like they leave notes for me. You are a role model. Thank you for always working hard. Like they leave notes for me in the bathroom when they see me overwhelmed or tired. So I know that I did lead by example. That was number one, because we never asked them, neither me or my husband, to go to dance. Everybody think we pushed them because we want someone to take over the business. On the contrary, we really wanted to sell our practices and enjoy our, you know, life together now, because we worked so hard. We, we were not planning at all on keeping the practice. But then Miriam joined, and she joined as a dental hygienist. And when she worked with me, she said, are you going to be my boss all the time? I said, basically, yes, because the hygienists, they have to work under a dentist, right? But this is your office. You can be your own boss. She said, no. I don't work well like that. She went back to dental school. So now she's a hygienist and a dentist, and she's one of the best dentists ever. She's a very good family dentist. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like
that's fantastic.
She's there with, she knows everything about it. She's really good. She keeps learning. And then the second one, Yara, I never knew she was going to go to dental school until she came home. She said, I applied. She said, I'm taking my DAT. I'm, what? So that's how they went to dental school. No one pushed them. When they joined the office, that was very difficult for me because my patients, they are like everything to me because every patient is very precious to the office. That office started from scratch and it took a lot of hard work from us as a family. We've been to every health fair in the community, to a lot of the schools in Glendora. We worked so hard on building the practice from patient number one. So giving those patients to Miriam first was the most difficult thing I've been through because what I did hand her the patient from A to Z, and I pulled myself away from the floor 100%. And I told her, if you don't take care of my patients, you're out.
Yeah.
And she had to work for three years.
I'm your mom, but I am your boss. And you need to do a good job. You need to do a good job. Yeah. And I see that all the time.
Yes. She had to work at somewhere else for 3 years. And for her, she started one day with me a week before I handed her the patient. And she was up to it. She really was up to it. When I replaced her for her maternity, my patients, who I gave to her, and they told me, we love you and everything, but she's faster. She's more quick. She's more like, no, we want her. I say, okay, you know? So that was like the turning point is me accepting that they're the bosses. They are taking care of the patient. I'm their support system now.
I love one thing that you touch on that I really like that I speak to many of our clients about so many times, and you've touched on it a few times now in surrounding yourselves, finding support, and talking about the community. Can you share with me the importance of community involvement for a dentist trying to build their business? Because you said now how important it was to you. What is your message to other dentists in getting out in the community, being involved in, as you said, the trade shows, the fairs, the schools, the luncheons? What has that meant to you?
So I'm a big fan of Glendora because we live in Glendora. And then my daughter went to school in Glendora, our youngest daughter. One moved to Glendora and then... now our granddaughter goes to the same school that my daughter went to. So in Glendora, you feel the stability, you feel the sense of the community. You feel like from now my daughter went to the same school. Now I'm going to my granddaughter's activities and I see the teachers, I see, you know, so it is, you have this sense of belonging. You do belong to a strong community, but you cannot belong if you don't interact. So like I do everything in Glendora. The only thing I leave Glendora for is to go to the mall. If I, you know, I do everything. Like I like to connect to the businesses in Glendora. So I go to the gym in Glendora. I go to my daughter's go to school in Glendora, dry clean in Glendora. So this is one thing. The other thing is you have to be out there. You have to, people don't know about you. And we are from the old generation where we did not depend a lot on social media. Like the new generation now, they depend a lot on Facebook and Instagram and everything. But I'm from the old generation where we had social interaction to build your practice. You have to see people in person. How are they going to know about you when you are on the fourth floor in a medical building? That's all doctors. There's no dentist in the building and you are there. And how are the people going to come to you if they don't know about you? The only way I wasn't a big believer until now. Now I believe how important social media is, but when I started the office 12 years ago or 13 years ago, I said, it has to be me. They have to see me.
They have to see you.
I will go, me and my husband and the kid. We have a canopy and waters, and we put our flyers and business, and we go to all activities, not only health. Any activity in Glendora, in the village, downtown Glendora, we'll go, and then the kids will take the toothbrushes to businesses. Maya, she was 8 years old. She goes and she tells people, my mom is a great dentist. You need to go and see her. You can go and meet her at the booth. And yeah, something like that. And then the people were so happy to see me, like, you're the dentist, talking to them, giving them my business card. I'm not sending someone to represent me. So I think this
helped a lot. I love that. I speak to all of our clients about this so often, and I know you're someone that has done this exceptionally well, because you do have the newer generation, as you're saying, especially when dental marketing, the traditional side of website, social media, paid media, when these things, when that is not work, that the months that does not work, because it does this, it's not always just going to do this. And what you need to do then, exactly to what you're saying, is these are all different factors and different playbooks that is going to help your business grow. Yes, you need the website, you need social media, you need these things, because that's going to help you online. But think how powerful it is if they meet you in person, they then go and look at your website, they then go and look at your reviews, and they say, I actually met this doctor. And that's why I always say, get out into the community, go and speak to people. I love what you just said with the kids going, giving the toothbrushes, because that is how you build connections. That is the personal connection.
Yes, because when they see you in person, you can't fake, you can't change, you can't, like, this is you, they're seeing you in person, right? If you want to put a photo, you always make yourself look very good before it goes on social media, right? But when they see you in person, they're talking to you. And then I think they need to feel that you care, you genuinely care. They interact with you, they feel that genuine care. And this is number one. I don't care what now the dentists know, the new generation, how good they are. They might be the best with their quality and blah, blah, blah. If they don't care, you need to have empathy and care. Basically, this is the theme of our office. So we have this everywhere, like a sticky notes to remind each other. Empathy and care. When your patient walks through the door toward the end, believing in you, they're vulnerable. They're on the chair and you are thinking they're vulnerable. You need to have empathy. And they have stories at home. Some of them might lost a kid. Some of them, maybe they have cancer. Or maybe some of them, they're divorcing. Or not everybody come and living this happy dandy life and have in their pocket $10,000. You know, we need to have empathy, work with them, work with their needs, listen to their story. They have a story. You need to listen, connect. So you can help them. You cannot just have a plan. Okay, you need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to do everything on you. You're not talking with a robot. So
no, 100%. And that's spot on. Yeah. That's spot on to what you're saying there. I completely agree. Dr. Rima, I so appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with me a bit. I think it's such a beautiful message. The themes of what you've shared today, not just the stories you told about you coming to America and your advice to other immigrant dentists that want to come over, but your story of finding support and being true to yourself, surrounding yourself with your community, being involved in your community, setting those big goals and going and going and going until you achieve them. I just love your story. And thank you so much for coming today to talk to me. It's truly been a blessing.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Ian.
Okay. And that was your bite of dental marketing. Thank you so much.